Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But since we are in the new year, we started our new series called The First Followers. And over a course of 16 plus weeks, we'll be looking at how the first followers did things for Jesus. We talked about how Jesus has left this earth. He left the disciples with a mission, and that mission was to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the commands that He has given us. And so the first week, we talked about how even though Jesus has left this earth, He left us with someone to help us out, an advocate, a helper, and that helper is the Holy Spirit, which is God who lives inside of us and leads us. So the last sermon that I preached on this, which I'm pretty sure was 3 weeks ago now, I don't even know if I go here anymore, but we saw how the disciples started to share the truth about Jesus. 3,000 people that day accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they were all baptized. And then the last part of the mission has to be done, to teach people to obey the commands of God. And to do this, we see that the first church was made. It said that the first followers of Christ devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. This is such an important thing to note because they didn't have what we have today. They couldn't just have a Bible in their hand. The Old Testament was on scrolls that they wouldn't have access to. And then what we know is the New Testament was not even written yet. They're literally living it out. So they went and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, which is the best thing that they could have done because they were there with Jesus. They saw it. They got to hear the teachings right from Jesus' mouth. And so the people knew how important it was to know these teachings, to try and incorporate them into their everyday lives. But after they were done with the teachings, they also gathered together. They met outside of the temple. They met in each other's homes. And they continued the conversations. They continued being the church. They helped one another out, and they had everything in common. And what was that thing that they had in common? It was that the truth that Jesus is God's Son, that He was born here, He taught the truth about God, that Jesus then died on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins, for the things that we've done wrong, and that Jesus rose again from the grave. This was the truth that put all of them together. And it truly is a beautiful picture of what the first followers did. So we're reading in real time what it looked like for those who were the first Christians. So we've shared the truth about Jesus, many have accepted, many are baptized, and the church starts to form and they devote themselves to God's teachings. And then you have one of my favorite questions, now what? And we have to answer the now what. Well, that's what we're starting with today, and it's going to be in Acts 3. So we're going to turn over to Acts 3, and we're actually going to start off really simple in Acts 3. It's going to be only one verse. We're starting off with Acts 3, verse 1. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using here, we have some in the rows, and we have a stack there in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you today. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. And let's go ahead and read Acts 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. So now, when you stop there, you may say, well, this is just setting up what is to come. Most of the time, we would not be breaking down what is happening in this first sentence because it just feels like a scene is being set. But what we have to understand is what's going on here. These people, Peter and John, who are disciples of Christ, they're doing what they always do. They are just living their lives. It is something that they've done for years and years, where they're heading to the temple, where they're going to their church, and what are they going for? A time of prayer. And it says that it was in 3 in the afternoon. This was always the time for prayer for the Jews. So what we're seeing is that these two men had only in the intention of to go live their lives. Nothing special was going to happen today because they do this all the time. And we're going to show the world today what it looks like just to live out your life for God. They weren't looking to do something amazing. But when you make God the center of your life, you never know what's going to happen that day. But if you're following Him, it will be good. And it's so fascinating to me that we do not think about the first disciples in this way. We think, well, this is Peter. Like, this is the Peter. The dude walked on water, okay? If you don't know that story, go check it out in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. It is true. He did walk on water. And that's just one of the amazing things that Peter did. Then we have John, who's with him, who is said to be one of the closest to Jesus. Plus, his name is John, so obviously he is blessed and better than most, right? I'm John. It's okay. But this is the same John that laid his head on Jesus. Like, he really had this close relationship with Jesus Christ. So when you hear about Peter and John, you're like, it's Peter and John. They just did all kinds of crazy things. But these two men that have seen so much, that have been there for the miracles, what are they doing? Just living their life. If you were to read, though, Acts 3 in its entirety and not stop with just verse 1, you would go, see, look, they always do crazy, awesome things. They always are having amazing, godly encounters. No, no, it's not about that. The truth is, they were just walking to the temple that day. The same thing they do every day when they're going out to pray. And we need to know that they are just like us. Nothing special was happening. They weren't thinking, it's time to change the world. They were just saying, hey, we're devoting ourselves to God. What are we going to do? Let's go pray today. So all of a sudden, this story, just because of one verse, becomes a lot more relatable. It's almost like these two guys, who were just two guys who loved Jesus, are showing us what it looks like to live daily. So let's keep reading Acts 3, verses 2 through 5. Acts 3, 2 through 5. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. So now you have Peter and John are heading to the temple to pray, and they come across a man who cannot walk. And he is set near the temple to beg every single day. And what he's doing is he's hoping on the generosity of strangers. Why? So he can continue to live. Peter and John enter, and this man does his thing he always does. He says, hey, you guys, do you have any money to spare? And I love Peter's response, because as we read it today in our culture, it could have a very different meaning. He just says, dude, look at us. And when I read that the first time, because I'm looking through my own goggles, I took it to mean, does it look like I have money? Look what I'm wearing. Like, I am not a person that looks financially stable, right? And if we're going to be honest, ministers aren't, you know, making bank. And that's okay, because you do it for the love of the Lord. And they were not actually saying that, though. It wasn't about what they were wearing. What we're having here is Peter says, look at us, because he's saying, you have my attention. Now I want yours. I see you. I see you as a person. I see what you're going through. And it's because a lot of people would have just walked on by or said some really snide remark. Like, beggars at the temple? You're defiling the temple of God with your begging? That's just disgusting. But what they're doing is they're saying, no, we're not like that, and we want to talk to you. I want your full attention. And that's why he says, look at us. Knowing that John and Peter are talking to him, what is he expecting? He's expecting money from them. And he goes, man, these people are listening. They see me. They know that I'm a beggar. They know that I have no money. I have no money even to eat or drink. They're going to give me this blessing. So let's go ahead and keep reading verses 6 through 10. Verses 6 through 10. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So Peter just flat out says, "I don't have any money. Like, I know that's what you're looking for, but I don't have money, but I can give you something else." And he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And then he takes the man by the hand, helps him up to his feet, and it says that his feet and his ankles were healed. This man was expecting something. He thought any cash today would be amazing. And truthfully, some money would have been awesome. It would have been a blessing and very helpful to this beggar. He had set his expectations for someone to throw just a little help his way. And then there were these two guys that were just living their lives. But these two guys have something so much more than anyone could have expected. They said, "We have Jesus, the Son of God." They have the Holy Spirit who is God living inside of them. And instead of giving this man this immediate need of money, they give him a gift that is so much bigger. And what do? They heal this man. I love this story so much because there are so many low expectations. So little thought was put into almost any of this. Everyone was just living their lives. This is what they do on a daily basis. Those without God, they're just hoping for the best. They're hoping for a little happiness. They're hoping for a little comfort, a little love. And then bam! When followers of Christ start to live in step with God, when followers of Christ decide that they're going to make God their life and they just keep living their daily life for Him, someone's whole world can be changed in an instant by sharing the truth that you know. Now again, I am a man that knows that I worship an all-powerful God. A God who can still heal today when He deems it so. But this isn't normally what we're handing out. We're not normally walking around just handing out healings of people's feet and ankles. But I dare to say that we give something even better than physical healing. When a Christian is living their life for God, you're offering something eternal, something forever. You're offering a healing for the soul to be completely restored inside and out for all of eternity. And when you live your life and you live it for God and share the truth about Jesus Christ and someone else accepts it, you just changed their whole world. They may have been looking for some comfort. They may have hoped for very little to happen that day. But because you were willing to give the hope and truth that we have in Jesus, it really could change the whole world. I've personally seen it happen time and time again. And it's always a wondrous miracle that I'll never stop being in awe of it. Because we see that these lost and dead people, they're now found. They're changed. They're now alive in Jesus, and it is so amazing to watch it happen. And this story can be any follower of Christ that we know, but we have to make God the center of our lives, ready to spread healing with the truth about Jesus. And it will be just like verse 10. People will see this change in this person, and they are just struck with amazement and wonder. They're going to say, this is the same person? That's not the person that I knew. What happened to the super depressed person that hated the world? Well, guess what? When they accept Jesus Christ, they can be made new. And Peter does this amazing job explaining all of this. So we're going to go ahead and read verses 11 through 26. It's a huge chunk of verses. We're going to go through the whole thing, and then we're going to talk about what's being said. It says, "While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from the people.' Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant of God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." So now I know there's a lot that's happening in there. But Peter starts off with a sentence that we all need to hear today. When a miracle happens, when lives are changed, when truth makes a difference in this world and in people's lives, we should be asking, "How awesome are you, God?" We need to stop being surprised by it. When God does amazing works in people's lives and it's changing everything, why are we shocked when God makes people new? It makes no sense to me. He is God. He's the same God of the Old Testament. The same God that the disciples had when they did amazing things in the New Testament. It's the same God that created everything and has the perfect plan. You can be in awe and say, "Wow, God, you are amazing and awesome." But we shouldn't be shocked and filled with doubt. We shouldn't be going, "No, that doesn't make sense. There's no way that's happening. There's no way that person's truly changed. There's no way that God is moving in these ways." Or my favorite is, "I don't believe it because that could never happen." Of course it can happen. Because God wants it to happen. It's going to happen. God has told us time and time again, he's here. He is all powerful. And he loves us personally. So why would you have any question about what he can do? Then Peter goes into what happened with Jesus. He shares the gospel. He shares the truth to all who are seeing what has happened here. And he relates it to their lives and the knowledge that they have. Now, a lot of people would read through these verses and go, "I have no clue what he's talking about here." And I'm going to say to you, that's okay.
If you want to study more into it, please do so. But he was speaking to the Jews. He was talking about their history. He was talking about their past. He was talking about their champions like Abraham and Jacob. They all would know. They would go, oh, yeah, yeah, we know. We know all the stories. We know what they did. We know exactly that this is real. But then he adds to it. And he tells them all about Jesus. Because it all comes back to Jesus. But there's one line in here that's going to help everybody. And that's verse 19. It says, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. And when you do, times of refreshing will come from the Lord. Do not give in to the lie that God loves everything about you, including everything you say and do. It is just a bold-faced lie. And the reason that they tell you this is because they want you stuck in your sin. It's a lie to keep you from God. It's a lie to keep you trapped, beaten, and defeated. So we have to understand, when we read this word repent, it means to recognize the things that are far from God that you're doing in your life. Things that are against God. Things that are wrong. And what we need to do when we repent is say, I need this out of my life. This isn't helping me. This is harming me. We say, oh God, I need you more than ever. I need you to give me the strength to get over and past these things. And after you recognize them, we need to go to God. That's the part we don't want to do. We say, I see these bad things. And what do we say? I'm going to fix it. I'll be good enough. I'll stop. And you may do well for a while until the temptation becomes too strong. And we have to understand there's a reason it says repent and turn to God. It's because you don't need to fix it. You don't need to work harder. You don't need to be stronger and do good things to please God. I just want to flat out say this, and this may upset you, but stop it! That's not how it works. Recognize the problems and the sin and then run to God. Why? Because God is the one that will change your heart. God is the one that will give you the strength to resist temptation and sin. God is the one that has already done the work to free you from sin. You cannot do enough good things to earn God's grace. Actually, it's free. He's trying to give it to you. You have to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for you. That's what saves you, not yourself. Stop trying to be good enough and instead run to God. How do we do that? Worship Him. Love Him. Read His Word. If you tell me you don't have one of these, I'm going to lose it. If you didn't know, we give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We need to pray to Him. Be in His presence as much as you can. Talk with one another. Let Him be on your lips. Stay connected to God, and He will guide you, and He will change you. He is the one that frees us and saves us from all the things that are against Him. This is what it means when it says that there will be a time of refreshing coming from the Lord. It means that when you're with Him, you're going to feel something so different, so awesome, and so amazing that only God can give you. It's not that you can fix it. He can. And I want to tell you, yes, the physical healing, it's amazing and awesome. But as I always say, that guy that was healed that we're reading about, I want to tell you, he doesn't walk anymore. You know how I know that? Because he's dead. He's not alive, right? We all love the idea of the physical healing. Oh, now he can, you know, get up and walk and run, and that's great. He died, okay? He's not around anymore. But you know what? His soul was changed. His life here, yes, it was changed because he has Jesus and God, and he will be with God forever when he left this earth. When it was his time to go, guess what? Now he has eternal life. And that is so much more important than whatever physical healing that we may be asking for. And this is exactly what Peter and John were doing. They didn't go out that day to change the world. They didn't go out to show everyone how close to God they were. They weren't going out there to just say, hey, look, we can heal people. No. They were showing their love and devotion to God by going and praying to Him, by talking to Him. And along the way, God had a plan in their lives. And they were there for it. They listened. They followed. And we are to do the same. And this is what brings me to the challenge for this week. I'm going to say it again. Stop trying to be good. Change your mindset and start living every day for Him. Live your life that you have been given, but make sure that God is the center of everything. Draw close to Him. And when you do, you are going to find fulfillment like you've never had before. And that's because it's not about us. It's not about us being good Christians. It's not about us showing how awesome we are because we have Jesus. It's all about loving Him every moment of every day. And then when He calls you to do something, you better do it because it's going to change people's lives. You may not even get to see it. What's beautiful for Peter and John is that they got to see it. This man instantly is healed, but more importantly, he's singing the praises of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't get to see that, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep talking, keep telling, and keep sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to learn more about you and learn from you. We have these thoughts that we just need to be working for you 24 hours a day and doing good things and being good, but that's not what it's about. It's about us saying, God, we love you so much. What would you like me to do today? How can I praise you today? How can I love you today? And then we just follow. You are a good Father that will never lead us astray. I pray that we can have the courage and strength to say, yes, Lord, I'm all in for you. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.